Comptroller, thank you so much for giving us your time. Can we talk about what, first of all, is the mental health parity bill?
Well, mental health parity is a pretty simple premise, which says that no insurance company should treat behavioral health differently than they treat physical health. So if somebody that has a disease of the brain isn't treated any differently than if they had a disease of the body. And back in 2019, when I was a state rep, I passed a law that then first term Governor Lamont signed that created mental health parity in the state. But in the last couple of years, we've seen that the insurance companies were finding ways around it. And so the bill that the governor signed recently is an attempt on our part to strengthen that first 2019 law and, again, make sure everybody in our state is getting the equal coverage that they deserve from their insurance company.
And certainly, you know, it's interesting that you put that forward before the pandemic, but to your point, Comptroller, we certainly know that that was really highlighted, not just for kids in school, certainly, but even adults, and kind of normalizing that conversation of obviously mental health is something we need to tackle a lot better, but we just don't. And unfortunately, a lot of times insurance didn't really recognize it. So I just want to kind of clarify for listeners, with this legislation, what does that mean if they want to, for example, go to a therapist or they want to go see somebody specifically to address mental health? What does this do in that regard?
Well, what it does is hold the insurance companies accountable to make sure that they're actually not discriminating against an individual or treating them differently for what they're doing. So, for example, it requires annual certification, meaning that the health carrier has to submit an annual certification confirming that they are complying with state and federal parity laws for mental health. Transparency. So in the 2019 law, there was a provision that we had compromised on back then that basically said that the health carriers could confidentially file basically saying that they had messed up or they had not been compliant with parity. In the 2025 law, we require them to file in name so that they are held accountable by their customers to see, oh my God, my insurance company has not been doing this and I'm going to know about that. But most importantly, it has teeth in the sense that there are penalties. And so the Connecticut Insurance Department can actually assess significant civil penalties against health carriers that are found to have violated our parity law from 2019 and ensure that that noncompliance is a deterrent for them for doing the wrong thing, whereas there was no fines in the first law. So, I got to say, a lot of the insurance carriers are doing the right thing. They've been complying with the law, but there have been some bad actors, and this law simply just says that to those bad actors, we're going to hold you accountable, and we're going to make sure that folks with transparency and with penalties can be assured that, we're going to have their back when it comes to making sure their insurance company is doing the right thing by them.
And again, we're talking to Comptroller Sean Scanlon. And, Comptroller, I want to, of course, always address what I'm sure I'll get questions about later. If somebody, let's say right now, is actively in some kind of either treatment or is working through some kind of mental health issue, crisis, what have you. Is this something that if they're going through something right now, do they have to change or do anything? And obviously, we always talk about retroactive things, but it sounds like this is going forward, how things are going to be handled. But like, is there anything people need to do or change, or do things change for them if they already were getting services done? For example, if they were getting something and it wasn't, being covered, let's just say, but now this is kind of holding feet to the fire. There's more accountability, if you will. Will they see something? Is it worth them having conversations either with their insurance carrier or with their, therapist, whoever that entity might be? Do people need to do anything essentially because this is now in the works?
So nobody has to do anything that they weren't already doing. However, what I would say to people is, be vigilant about this. If you are requesting or if you get treatment for behavioral health and your insurance company denies that claim, you should make a complaint to the Insurance Department of Connecticut. You should call the healthcare advocate's office, who is in charge of advocating for folks, particularly with insurance companies and hospitals, don't just accept the fact that, oh, I guess that's the reality of the plan. No, you should actually make a complaint about it if you feel like your insurance company was in the wrong. And I think it's really important for folks to know that there are resources available to them if and when they feel like their insurance company is not covering mental health in the same way that they're covering physical health.
And do all Connecticut carriers have to abide by this? Is this only, and I know I'm kind of getting into the weeds a little bit, but obviously I don't know, you know, where everybody's coming from, but this, I would think this has to do with, you know, if you're Medicaid, if you are Medicare, totally different things, but like if you're on a certain, you know, regardless of what insurance plan you are on, does this apply to everybody, no matter, you know, what either carrier they use, Connecticut based or even federally based?
So it's a great question. And this is a very frustrating thing about insurance law. But at the state level regulations only apply to what are called fully insured health plans. And those are health plans where basically the employer pays a fixed premium to an insurance company, which then handles all the claims and does all the administration. Whereas in a self-funded plan, the employer directly funds the healthcare costs and just does as sort of pay as you go for what happens. That's because the fully insured plans are governed by the states and the self-insured plans are governed by a federal law known as ERISA. So if I haven't already confused your listeners enough, basically at the end of the day, the best way to know this is to ask the HR people in your company if you get your insurance through where you work, which is where most people get their insurance, whether it's a fully insured or a self-insured plan. Now, there are federal laws that have made this happen. And interestingly, in 2019, I worked with Patrick Kennedy, who is the son of the late United States Senator Ted Kennedy, who's the brother of JFK. Mm-hmm. He was a U.S. senator from Massachusetts for a long time. Patrick, his son, was a congressman from Rhode Island. Patrick has been very, very open about his struggles with mental illness and substance use. And he, after leaving Congress, basically traveled the nation trying to get states to pass parity laws like the one that we passed in 2019 to update a federal law that he had passed back in 2008. Obviously, Washington doesn't pass a lot of stuff these days because they're kind of mired in gridlock. And so the federal law is very, very behind where the state laws are. But I say all that to say that there is still a federal parity law in place. So whether you're covered by state regulated plans or you're covered by federally regulated plans, there is some mental health parity in place. But the law that we're talking about and have been talking about, Melissa, is really only for those fully insured plans, which is about 60% of the population here in Connecticut.
But again, I think something is better than nothing. And as you mentioned, Comptroller, there's only so much control the state can have, you know, against what is happening at a federal level. And the other thing too, Comptroller, before I let you go is, I think it's pretty self-explanatory what would be, you know, a mental health, issue or something that you are working on that you would need insurance coverage for. Are there any situations though that would not get coverage? Because obviously we could go through the list of all the things that do get coverage, but is there anything in particular that either has come across your desk or the governor's desk where even with this new legislation in place, you know, X would not be covered by this?
It's impossible for me to say, you know, like what a definitive set of things that might not be covered. But what we know is this: there is a crisis when it comes to mental health in this country, and that's happening here in Connecticut too. Typically what happens is people in crisis don't have anybody to turn to, and they go to our emergency rooms, right? When the person is stable, they then get discharged because the emergency rooms don't have anywhere to put these folks. And typically what then is important is that you pair the care you get with intensive outpatient treatment, meaning you're seeing a psychiatrist or a therapist or someone like that. But the challenge is, as you I'm sure have heard from different guests that have been on your show, the it's very hard to find therapists in the state of Connecticut and this country that take insurance.
Yes.
And so most of them are what are known as private pay. And a lot of people out there just can't afford to, pay like $250 for one therapy session, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the goal of this is to basically have these insurers start paying more for therapists like they would for physical therapists, right? There's no difference in my mind, and there is no difference in the law between somebody going to physical therapy for an injury they have on their leg and somebody going to behavioral health therapy for something going on in their head. And so what this law is really trying to get at is to say that there will be more insurance coverage for things like therapy, and therefore there will be more therapists out there that somebody could utilize. And again, this takes time. This is not an easy thing to do. But at the end of the day, 1 in 4 people in our state have a diagnosable mental health condition. That's a lot of people. And these are people that we know and that we love and that are part of our lives every day. I talked about this at the bill signing, but my dad died about 20 years ago. But before he died, he was an alcoholic in long-term recovery. And, you know, he was a Marine who served during Vietnam. And he was a police officer in New York City during an insane time there in the 60s and 70s. And he had a lot of stuff that he never had the ability to get the help for because it just wasn't there for him. And I think all of us have a story like that that they could talk about. And I think this law at the end of the day is really just about the simple premise of everyone in our state deserves access to this treatment. And if an insurance company is treating that treatment differently than they treat physical health, we're going to hold them accountable. We're going to make sure that stops. And I think by doing that, we're going to make sure that more people like my dad and your dad or your mom or your wife or your brother get the help that they deserve.
And Comptroller, actually just one, I lied, sorry. One last question, only because when you mentioned, you know, that's kind of what I was, I think, earlier kind of getting at when I said, is there anything people need to do? I mean, we talk about when you get insurance, I just know from the broker end of things, having a father and a husband who are insurance brokers, you know, a lot of times they'll get questions from people when they're in open enrollment, you know, what doctors are covered by your insurance, what's in network, what's out of network, for example. And just to kind of simplify for people, is that something they need to ask? Like, let's say they are with a therapist right now who is, what did you call it? A private something
provider.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. So if you have a private provider, let's just say, does this now, you know, change it where they can they still, I guess, continue with saying, no, we only do out of pocket and we're not going to take insurance? Or does this also kind of, you know, have more therapists fall under where they would take insurance now? Like, is it worth even having that conversation if, you know, you certainly don't want to continue paying for it, but maybe you do have the money. We have a lot of people in Fairfield County who, you know, certainly maybe aren't living paycheck to paycheck, but they if insurance will cover it, they certainly would love to have their mental health services covered. Is that worth having the conversation with your therapist who maybe wasn't under it before, but now with these regulations in place for insurance carriers, maybe they will be. Is that worth kind of checking back in with, or do you think more therapists will fall under that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an overnight thing. That's a whole different problem that we have to solve, which is getting more people in network. Right?
Yeah, that's kind of, that was my second part of it.
That's a larger problem. But I think back to your original point is people have to be smart consumers, right? And it's really important to read the fine print. I know it's annoying and they send you like a 7,000 page document that they honestly hope you don't read. But the point is to be an informed consumer. To ask questions, to figure out what the different rates are. And, you know, a lot of times, though, the problem is, Melissa, is that people have no control over this, right?
Yeah.
Most people in this country get their health insurance through their job. And most people who go to the job are happy to have the job and aren't exactly in the business of fighting with their HR department to complain about their insurance, right? They're just happy to have a job and happy to have insurance. And it's frustrating sometimes when these things don't cover what they need, but they don't have a lot of ability to, you know, go into their corporate headquarters and say, hey, can we change insurance for just me, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have to change the laws in Connecticut, because those individuals don't have the ability to always advocate for themselves and fight for themselves. And that's why I think we need to do it. So I do think this will help that problem. But there are other things that are causing the problem just besides this. What this basically says is when somebody gets a denial for something that they have been getting coverage for, and it doesn't smell right to them, they can complain about it and we can hold them accountable if they have changed their policies and they're not covering things that they were covering before, or they're covering them differently than they were before. That is a violation of parity, and that is what we're trying to root out.
Comptroller Sean Scanlon, always appreciate your time and giving us the time here on WICC. I'm sure we're going to talk again really soon.
Talk to you. Thank you.
All right. That's Comptroller Sean Scanlon right here on WICC. We're going to be right back.